Welcome to Sounds from the Sanctuary, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, David Ball.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Sounds from the Sanctuary. This is David Ball, your host and Christ Cathedral organist, and right now, acting head of music ministry. Happy Easter, everyone. So we had a wonderful Easter here at Christ Cathedral. We did some amazing music, and honestly, it was extra special this year because it was the first Triduum slash Easter for our senior choral scholar here at the cathedral. We're going to meet her later. So on this show, we're going to recap some of the wonderful Easter music heard right here from our cathedral in Garden Grove. And I am joined today by Lauren McCall and Alice Reneau. Say hello to our fans here, and happy Easter.
Hello, and happy Easter, everyone. My name is Lauren McCall, and I am the Cathedral Music Administrator here at Christ Cathedral, also one of our cantors and soprano staff singers.
Hi, my name is Alice Reneau, and I am a Cathedral Choral Scholar here at Christ Cathedral.
Yes, very special. And, well, we're going to have some wonderful Easter music coming up. But right now, we're going to sort of back up a little bit and explore a little bit of the music from the Triduum, the holy days leading up to Easter. And to kick us off, obviously, we're going to hear the entrance antiphon from Holy Thursday. This is Nos Autem, Come Let Us Glory in the Cross, a polyphonic setting by Felice Anerio. This is Sounds from the Sanctuary, and we are recapping Easter and Triduum from Christ Cathedral. Stay tuned. Well, we just heard the entrance antiphon by Anerio, Nos Autem, a beautiful, rarely done choral piece. That's the entrance antiphon for Holy Thursday. And today on Sounds from the Sanctuary, we're listening to some of the beautiful music we did here at the cathedral from the Triduum and Easter. And I'm so happy to be joined today by Lauren McCall and Alice Reneau. And it was a really special year for me. Well, A, this was my first year to sort of do a Holy Week on my own after John and Mary left us. I was left holding the bag to conduct and play and do all that stuff. Luckily, I had the help of Lauren McCall, Cathedral Music Administrator, doing all the fun things. And but it was really special for the both of us because Alice Reneau joined us, and she is, well, we had a pro choir for these days, and it was about seven people socially distanced in the choir, in our huge choir loft, singing far apart. But among these pros, one of them was Alice. And Alice is not a pro. She is one of our choral scholars. So Alice, tell us, just introduce yourself.
So my name's Alice. I am 17, and I have been singing at the cathedral since 7th or 8th grade when the first choir camp started, which was super fun.
Yeah, you sort of grew up in our diocesan children's choir.
Yes, exactly. I was in the children's choir, and then 2 years ago, I think I joined the adult choir to sing some more and get more experience singing better music.
Yeah, and then just recently, we started doing some solfege lessons and ear training in the French style. And then for this Easter, you finally joined the Cathedral Schola, and a very scary version of the Schola, because it was the COVID Schola. So, Lauren, I mean, I'm sure you can tell us about, you know, singing is one thing in a choir, but singing in a small group, how is it different feeling this COVID Schola versus singing in normal choirs?
So it's definitely a step up as far as focus and kind of your musicianship skills. You can't really hear anybody else because you're far, far away. And our choir loft actually has a little bit of a tricky spot in the back, which is, of course, where we all stood so that we could be right under the microphones where you need to be when there's only seven singers. But it's definitely a step up. I mean, Alice had to know all her notes. She had to be clear in her diction. She had to be able to follow an organist director, which is also its own beast. Definitely a different experience, you know, and a lot of a cappella music, especially for Easter Vigil, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah, and True to Him, too. I mean, you know, Good Friday is all a cappella.
Yeah, so it's definitely a tough sell, but I would say that we did a masterful job, and Alice hung in there with the best of them.
Exactly.
God
with
bless
the pros.
Her heart.
Also, while we're at it, shout out to Jeff Miller, our sound technician, and Kim Dan, our sound technicians, who really made our microphones sound good, as you can hear in these recordings. But anyway, so the whole point is, again, this is a big step up from, I remember when I was your age, Alice, I was in John Romeri's Cathedral Schola in St. Louis, and, you know, I remember sitting there, and it's different from the regular choir. And the regular choir, everyone sort of moves along, and, you know, we go through the pieces, and we walk through the order of music and everything like that, and you're sort of, the director obviously helps everyone along, because there's volunteers there. But when it's a pro group, you know, we move like the wind, you come in with your music in order, and it's really just go, 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 only music and only music making right away. I'm sure Lauren had sort of a similar experience when she was younger, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I started singing with our, we call it the Cathedral Camerata, a group at Holy Family Cathedral under the direction of Matthew Gray, and we also had a small group that sang, and I remember being absolutely terrified my very first time singing my own part on Salvator Mundi. It was a first and second soprano part that were basically the same part. There's kind of in canon for a big chunk of things, but oh my goodness, it was so scary. If you didn't come in, no one else did.
So, Alice, what are your thoughts? What was it like to sit there and be, it's your very first experience in the group like this, and sitting in the choir loft for these rehearsals. What was it like? Did you enjoy it? Hopefully.
My first experience with it, when I first got all of the music for it, I think I was more excited first.
Oh, yeah,
when I got
right.
the music, I was like, awesome, I get to sing instead of being like with COVID and stuff.
Yeah.
I get to be able to sing with
one of
great
the chosen
singers.
Few.
Yes, one of the chosen few, of course. And of course, a little bit terrified because it was singing with basic, like, pros. And I knew Lauren and I knew the women, but I didn't really know the men. And it was super fun for me to hear and sort of experience new singers with very wonderful voices.
Oh yeah, Paul Ahn, our bass, was even during COVID, he actually flew to New York for an opera and then flew back in between rehearsal and the performance. So we had some really amazing singers, and we were very happy to have them. So the first service of the Triduum obviously is Holy Thursday, the Mass of the Lord's Supper, and my favorite moment actually didn't happen this year, which is the washing of the feet. Womp
womp womp.
But Peter Latona, the organist and the director of music at the National Shrine in D.C., wrote a beautiful mandatum to sort of accompany this action, but we did it as a prelude before Mass, and so we're going to hear that next. We're going to hear some Holy Thursday music, beginning with Peter Latona's mandatum, and then we're going to go into Talis's O Sacrum Convivium, which was one of the first pieces I sang when I was Alice's age in John's Cathedral Schola in St. Louis, and this is a very special arrangement. Talis wrote this O Sacrum Convivium, which is a beautiful text about O Sweet and Sacred Feast, talks about the body of Christ, but he wrote it for two alto parts. And so when you have a small group, it's almost impossible to do it. So luckily, Rob Lehman, who's the organist and director of music in St. Louis at the Church of St. Michael, St. George, and he arranged this to fit all the voices that we had. So luckily, thank goodness for Rob Lehman's arrangement of the Talis O Sacrum Convivium. So to continue on Holy Thursday, Peter Latona's Mandatum and Talis's O Sacrum Convivium arranged by Robert Lehman. This is Sounds from the Sanctuary, and we are recapping, reflecting on the Holy Week music and the music of Easter here at Christ Cathedral.
You're listening to Sounds from the Sanctuary on Relevant Radio.
Thank you. If you have love for one another, Jesus said to his disciples, I give you a commandment that you
You're listening to Sounds from the Sanctuary on Relevant Radio.
Well, welcome back to Sounds from the Sanctuary, and we just sort of finished up recapping, reflecting on Holy Thursday. And of course, the next service after, actually, it's all the same service. Triduum is all one giant service that takes days and days and days. So the next part of that service is the Good Friday service. And this service obviously is very focused around the cross. My favorite moment of this is the silent entrance when everyone comes in and the priests prostrate themselves. That's always been a moment of quiet reflection for me. But it's also a tradition, one of the things that, again, didn't happen because of COVID, when everyone venerates the cross, one of the traditional pieces to be sung, besides the Crucem Tuam chant and the ones in the Missal, it's traditional that a lot of times this is when churches usually program Allegri's famous Miserere. And this piece is long, long storied history and a long, long, many traditions. This piece was sung only in the Sistine Chapel, written by Gregorio Allegri, and it was a big secret. And then Mozart finally came along, stopped by the chapel one day, heard it, and went, I'm going to pirate this, and this was the first act of musical piracy. He went, heard it twice, wrote it all down, and then the whole world started doing it. So, womp womp, thank you, Mozart, for stealing it. And so
I love that story.
Right? Well, and so then this piece gets passed down from generation to generation in every single church, and so usually what happens in the very most traditional choirs, what would happen is, so the men of the choir sing the parts and the boys of the choir sing sort of the high parts. And so there's two special moments in boy choirs, and one of them is the beginning of Christmas when somebody points and you have to solo sing Once in Royal David City. And the other moment is in the springtime before Easter at Good Friday when you have to pick a choral one chorister to sing the high C's in Allegri's Miserere. It's one of the most famous high C's in all of music, actually. The other one, there's Queen of the Night, and then there's the Gregorio Allegri Miserere. So here we are. And so we were so lucky to have Alice's beautiful dulcet tones up there this year. And so, I have memories of my voice changed before I could sing those high C's, but I remember being in
poor David.
I know. I remember being in John Romero's Scola and walking around the transept and in the little group that would sing the special part, and it was always frightening, and I could see the terror on the soprano's face. She's sort of it was like, keep the pitch up. And I'm sure Lauren has similar stories.
I do indeed. I got to sing my first Allegri. I was actually in college, had to miss choir. Dr. William Hall from Chapman University glared at me when I walked out early, and I was petrified. It's one thing to ask for one high C, but several over and over and over again is definitely, it's asking a lot. So,
well, and in the particular piece, it's like this, it's very dramatic. Like, so it sort of starts with these bigger choral sections and then sort of cuts down to smaller and smaller groups until you have these little inserts that are just like cut down to just four singers, and that's all they do, and the soprano has to sort of soar above them. So we had you'll hear in this recording, well, we did it in English as my tribute to John Romero and the tradition of singing Psalm 51 in English this year. And so I think there are five high C's in this, and we gave the middle two to Alice, our choral scholar. So tell us what that was like singing, because again, Good Friday, obviously I remember we came up the stairs and it's all very quiet and it's very solemn. And since we did it as a prelude, it was really very silent while we were doing this. So tell us about if you enjoyed soaring on the high seas.
Well, kind of like Lauren, it was super stressful at first. I was terrified. I remember during the rehearsals, I was like literally shaking because it was so nerve-wracking to have to sing in such a big space and have like your voice be the one that's echoing throughout the cathedral. And I think it was really fun too, because it was sort of testing the limits of my voice. I knew I could sing a high C, but like being able to in a piece and it's like not a descant or anything was more fun. And I really enjoyed that I was able to sing that high C.
Yeah, it was really the star of the show. And that's really what happens in that moment, is that all the other parts really do support the soprano.
Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah, no one cares about the other part. To the listeners, to the congregation, all they're going to hear is the high C. They're not going to hear any of the other
as
wonderful parts.
Be.
Oh, here we go.
But, of course.
Such a great moment for, and again, so that's, as we all had our moments in that sort of in that scola, that was yours. So, and yeah. Alice, it was beautiful, and you're going to hear that in this recording of the Allegri in English, which is also interesting. What do you think about singing in English?
Singing in English,
yeah,
as opposed to singing in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer singing in English because I know the words more.
Oh, interesting.
And
I like that.
I do like singing in Latin, but I enjoy knowing what the words mean too and being able to pronounce them right, because sometimes there's some like chuz with the CE that
right.
I don't know how to pronounce right, but
This is excellent. I had going back with a lot of different singers who I was running with, running past with the dudes in English or Latin, and all of the pro singers said, "No, we want to do it in Latin because the vowels are easier." But luckily, Alice, young Alice, who doesn't know better, says to do it in English. I approve.
I'm pretty sure David paid her to say that.
I mean, seriously, and it wasn't just. I mean, Lauren, you'd prefer to do it in Latin,
absolutely,
for the
always
vowels,
prefer,
right?
Absolutely, it's always the hardest language to sing in is English.
Yeah,
it really is. You know, Latin is so much easier. Latin, Italian, I mean, you know, they just kind of flow. The vowels are easy. And, you know, as you sing these over the years, you know, you do get to know what the words mean, you know? I mean, it's mm-hmm. you know, I always love singing in Latin myself, personally.
But just for the record, it wasn't just Lauren. I ran this by a couple yes. other singer friends of mine who also were like, English? What? What is this?
And Alice is saving up for a car, so...
yeah, that's why you're training student. I'll sing in any language. That's excellent. Excellent answer, Alice. Well, isn't it interesting? There is a long tradition going all the way, you know, you think of Barry Rose in England singing this in English. And the piece takes on a completely different feel to it, I think.
Absolutely.
When you're singing in English, it really is the British choral tradition. So I think you take a little more freedom. You interpret it a little more romantically. You sort of show the text more than you would in Latin. And it's a different take on it. So I hope you enjoy Allegri's Miserere in English. Have mercy on me, oh God. And then we're going to follow that with a quick chant, the Crucem Tuum chant. If we're going to reflect on Holy Week here, I have to include Paul Ahn, our bassist, singing the Crucem Tuum chant, which is the chant out of the Roman Missal that's supposed to be sung during the veneration of the cross. And that was my moment after, of course, basking in the glory of our two sopranos singing these high Cs. After that, the real prayerful moment for me for Good Friday was hearing Paul Ahn just in a quiet cathedral singing Crucem Tuam, a beautiful chant as the cross was being venerated. This is Sounds from the Sanctuary, and we're here with our choral scholar and our star soprano, Lauren McCall and Alice Reynaud, and we are reflecting on the music of Triduum and Holy Week. Stay tuned!
Mother conceived in me.
Be sure to tell a friend about Sounds from the Sanctuary, coming to you from the campus of Christ Cathedral in Southern California.
Thank you.
Well, we just heard arguably the most famous piece from all of the Triduum, Allegri's Miserere, traditionally done on Good Friday, done in English, and of course a very dramatic chant by Paul Ahn, professional bass and star of one of our star singers from the COVID Schola here at Christ Cathedral. And right now we're finally moving on to Easter, and I'm here with Lauren McCall and Alice Renaud, two of our sopranos from the COVID Schola. Oh, what a crazy year.
Gonna be so glad when COVID is gone.
Oh, yeah. When I'm going through all these services, it was like, you know, normally Alice wouldn't know, but those of us who have done this for years, we picture, like, part of the amazing thing about these services is watching the church come together sort of as a family, like tighten the pews, like for all these services, crowding in at 3 p.m. for Good Friday services. You know, these are, and Holy Thursday too. It's sort of, you know, who goes to church on Thursday night? Well, you do for Holy Thursday. And, you know, you really see who the core families of the parish are, and, you know, when they can all crowd into the church. But, you know, it just wasn't the case this year. I don't know. For me, it was interesting looking out and seeing. I mean, it was amazing to see people there. I'm really glad we were able to have a live congregation.
Yeah, it's still a pretty big step up from last year when we did not have anybody in the church. That was definitely the strangest Holy Week ever. So this was a step in a better direction.
Yeah, well, and then last year was just totally wacky. Just last year in 2020, right when COVID hit, we did these services and they were only for broadcast. So there was literally a countdown in a big empty church with everyone ready to go. And Kim would go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then point. And then we'd start the opening hymn with no one in the church. It was one of the most eerie things I had ever lived through.
Very creepy.
Yeah. So having a congregation socially distanced at least was nice. And I think it really added to these services. Like when you're singing for people, it makes a difference.
Absolutely. And next year, hopefully the people will be able to sing along with us as well. So that can be our next step toward normalcy.
Right? Congregational singing, something I miss the most. As much as I love listening to our star soprano soar away, you know, there's something about leading a congregation that's totally different. I don't know, Alice, you grew up Catholic, so you've been to many churches. What did you think of the sort of hybrid as we're sort of coming back?
I think it was pretty interesting, like what you guys said, that it was nice to have people in the church. I think that was a big part of it. And sometimes you can hear like a few voices skittering out in the crowd, like just a little bit, but not too much. But I really enjoyed like listening to the choir. And it is nice to like have the support of the crowd when they can sing. So I was kind of bummed out that I wasn't able to hear them sing, but I feel like I've like sat through enough Easter masses where it was like, it was I could sort of piece it together and just imagine that it happened.
Right. We can imagine our big crowds. And that's sort of, that's sort of what this year was sort of almost simulating the big crowds with the social distancing. It's like, okay, there are people in the church, but you could still see the pews through all the people 3 to 6 feet apart, you know? It's just such a weird thing. Well, and then also, so then of course the buildup of Triduum is Easter Vigil and Easter, which is usually when you, again, the big highlights usually singing Jesus Christ is risen today with a full crowd and people like standing room only almost at every church in Christendom on Easter. And, you know, it just wasn't the same this year. I mean, it was, again, lovely what we had, but it really felt different.
Yeah, no, it absolutely felt different. It'll be really nice to hear the congregation sing again. And I would say that the hope is that post-COVID, people will have missed singing so much that when they do come back, they're going to absolutely shake the building with their voices. I'm hoping that's the one good thing that comes out of keeping them at bay for over a year, is that when they come back, they're going to come back strong.
Yeah, hopefully these congregations realize, like, oh yeah, singing really is a big part of my faith, and really is a big part of coming to church. It's like these beautiful hymns and these amazing texts and these... Well, also, I like, especially during Triduum, it's one thing I love about Catholic music is it's the old and new. You get... Oh, some of the hymns we sang are things that are, you know, I was showing one of our organ scholars, the opening entrance antiphon for Holy Thursday is set to Jesu Dulcis Memoria, and that's a tune that's 1,000 years old. To think that the church has been singing that for a millennia is incredible. And then also we get brand new things like the Latona Mandatum, a brand new piece, but shoved right against an old piece like the Talus O Sacrum, and then an old traditional thing like the Allegri Miserere, shoved against newer things like, you know, the Nestor, a Faithful Cross. Like, we have the old and the new come together so beautifully in the Catholic Church and in the Catholic choral repertoire.
Absolutely. The Faithful Cross, actually, the Nestor piece is one of my favorites, I have to say. It's a little gem.
Yeah, right?
Kind of not actually probably very well known, but a beautiful text in a lovely little setting.
Yeah, again, the tradition of Catholic choral polyphony is older than Alice here.
What?
I would hope so.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I remember, you know, being your age and looking at all this music for Holy Week, and also just seeing that. It was amazing to see, oh, here's something a composer might have written when he was 23, and here's something that composers wrote when they were older and, you know, have been passed down for generations. So I hope you sort of enjoyed that scope of music that you got to do, all the way from something like Jesus Remember Me, you know, very contemporary by Jacques Berthier, 20th century, to something like the Allegri.
Yes, I really did enjoy that mix. I feel like I don't notice it as much. I do notice like a couple in like the styles of music a little bit, but I feel like I was focusing more on the words and like learning the music rather than like the history behind it.
Good job, Alice.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Stick to the work. That's good.
Right decision, fellow person singing your part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and again, this has been such a special show for me because, again, we've all had our mentors, and I was so lucky to grow up under the tutelage of John or Mary, just as Alice did, you know, sort of you grow up in choirs and you learn things. I grew up Catholic, but when I really joined choir is sort of where I found my faith. Like, that's really where I found, where I worship, where I reflect on all the things. And I think Lauren probably has a similar experience.
Yeah, I spent all my time in church. I mean, I even missed high school dances and, you know, trips with my friends. I just wanted to be in church all the time. I wanted to be singing choral music. It was so beautiful and it was so moving and touching. And I remember being a kid in the pews, you know, before you could be in the adult choir. And I always made my parents sit like at the front of the back half of the church because that was where I could turn around and see the choir the best. And I wanted to be in the choir so bad. So they finally let me in when I was in junior high. They finally let me in the choir. And it was a great day. And that's kind of the end of that story. So
yeah. Made it to choir. That's the goal. So
yes.
See, Alice, you've made it.
Yes, finally.
Yeah. Well, I know you also in your church, you were a lector and you're a server. So you've been very involved in the... Is choir your favorite?
Yes, for sure.
Of course it's her favorite. Hello.
Takes a cake.
Yeah, well, we hope to see wonderful things from Alice. Alice has become a cantor here, and she's cantored for our weekend liturgies here. And we're going to hope to see many more wonderful things from young Alice, as Lauren and I are, you know, the older church musicians here. It's wonderful. The best part about this job and this calling is to mentor the young people and sort of passing on the gift that was given to us.
Indeed. And we have a lot of yeah, we have a lot of wonderful choral scholars, organ scholars, kids in our children's choir that we're so excited to see back at some point.
We miss can't them. Wait. Come back to choir when yeah. we can. The kids'
we
choir
miss
will return.
It's where we get wonderful kids like Alice.
And I think the thing about the mentors, too, is that it's really nice because I get their experience from their mentors. Like David was telling me stories about how he was a choral scholar when John invited him to the Scola. And I thought it was really interesting that I'm sort of being put into the same spot as them, kind of passing down the tradition. I think it's really sweet.
Alice
cool.
started at Stations of the Cross, just like all of us.
yeah, passing the torch on, and you're part of, we're all part of a wonderful lineage of Catholic Church musicians, and, shout out to our mentors, Matt Gray, John Romeri, and, now Lauren McCall and David Ball.
Yeah, Lauren McCall and David Ball.
And down to Alice. So Alice, honestly, seriously, someday, pass it on. You'll know
of
when,
course.
And it'll just happen. That'll be wonderful. Well, thanks for joining us in Sounds from the Sanctuary. We're going to take us out with Finally Making It to Easter. And as I said before, the old and the new is one of my favorite things. So I love the tune O Filii et Filiae, O Sons and Daughters. And everyone sings it at Easter. People know it as the Easter Alleluia, even though it's not the real name. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. And a lot of times, I've been looking a long time for a wonderful sort of festive setting of this. And I finally found that in this exciting setting and varied setting for choral, it's written for a small choir. And organ, and someday we'll have brass to go with it, by Benjamin LaPrairie, who's a wonderful, good colleague of mine. He is the organist at the National Shrine in Washington, D.C., so he gets it. He gets these big services that need sort of festive settings, and this is his amazing arrangement that I loved doing this year of Ye Sons and Daughters. And you're going to hear the text painted in lots of different ways. You're going to hear the joy of Easter. You're going to hear my favorite verse was when Peter and John are running. So in the pedal part, you hear the organ. I take it. I decided to take that part in the feet. So I was going boom, 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 boom. You can hear the rumbling of the feet the whole time. And then you hear the women talking about spices. It's just such an amazing pictorial choral version of O Sons and Daughters. Thanks for joining us today on Sounds from the Sanctuary. This is David Ball, your host, Christ Cathedral organist and acting head of music ministry. We really miss live music. So when things open up again, support your local choirs, support your children's choirs, support music teaching, support your live music. We need to come back from this, and I think we are all desperately missing live music. So a little taste of that. Here was the live version of Benjamin LaPrairie's O Sons and Daughters. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.